The Financial Sense Midweek Edition with Jim Poplava. Delving in-depth with authors and experts into the key economic issues.
Last year, with the budget bill that was passed, several changes were made to Social Security. In fact, some of those need to be clarified. There are a lot of things that changed in that bill, which is why I've asked Social Security to come on the program. Joining me on this week's program is Yolanda York from Social Security. Yolanda, before we get into some of the sweeping changes that went into effect as a result of last year's budget bill, I wonder if we might begin with any other changes that took place beginning January 1st. I know that normally around January, there's usually pay increases to Social Security, there's increases to Medicare, there's other things that go into effect. What happened this year? As I recall, there were no increases to Social Security.
Exactly. So there was no cost of living. Medicare premium remained the same for those receiving Social Security benefits. But if you were not receiving Social Security benefits and you now apply for Medicare in the year 2016, the Medicare premium went up to $121.80.
And previously, that was what, $104?
Uh-huh, $104. That was one of the biggest changes, was the Medicare premium increasing for those who were not grandfathered because they were receiving benefits.
And Yolanda, if you're applying for Medicare, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you have like 3 months prior to your 65th birthday, then you have the month of your birthday and 3 months afterwards? What about somebody that, I don't know, is working for an employer and then in the middle of the year, they decide that they want to apply for Social Security because they're no longer covered under an employer program? How does that work?
Oh, very easy. That would be the special enrollment period. So the individual, basically, my recommendation would be that the individual apply for the Medicare Part B the week they terminate employment. And there's two things that the person needs to do. Go to Social Security and say, I want to file for Medicare. And then they have to get a letter from the employer. And usually, Social Security will give you this notice to take over to your employer so they can complete it, because it has to have special language. And the special language basically is saying that, you know, John Smith was employed by us from 65 to the present, and let's say they're 70 now, and they've been covered under the group health plan from that employer. So with this letter, we will enroll you to the Medicare Part B without a penalty and without a gap.
If somebody is also applying for Medicare, you mentioned that new individuals applying this year, the premium will be $120 a month, but there's also higher levels for Medicare depending on one's income.
Yes, that has not changed. The premiums for individuals with greater incomes, that definitely is the same. I mean, the premiums are higher. And to check and see where the person qualifies, they can come to the website, socialsecurity.gov, and we can give you that information. You can see what the higher premium would be.
Now, let's go to what changed with the passage of the law last year. There used to be a couple strategies that were used for couples to maximize benefits. One was called file and suspend, where, let's say, the husband would file for Social Security, but then he would suspend it. So he would not receive payment. And typically, if he did that at age 66, while he suspended his payments to age 70, those benefits would grow by 8% a year. On the other hand, his wife could then file for her portion of his benefits, even though he wasn't receiving them, and she could do something called file and restrict, which means she would basically file for her own benefits but not receive them and allow them to compound at 8% a year. And the idea is that then at age 70, you have this 32% increase. So let's talk about what has changed as a result of the law. And there's been some clarification that has come out recently. I wonder if you could bring us up to date on that.
Okay, so my recommendation is going to be for anyone listening to this program is that if you are full retirement age this year, you have between now and April 30th to call your 1-800 number, 1-800-772-1213, and talk to one of the representatives. So you might want to book an appointment if you are of age 62 and older. We will allow you to book an appointment. Otherwise, it's a first come, first serve. But here's what I can share with you about the client claim now, claim later. So if you're full retirement age, you can still file and suspend and entitle your spouse to collect under your Social Security number. And this will continue to go on for anyone born January 2nd, 1954. That's one of the exceptions. So these folks will continue to be grandfathered into filing for benefits under their spouse.
If you are not age 66, let's say I'm age 64, and I wait 2 years to full retirement age, which would be age 66, I can no longer do file and suspend and file restrict. That wouldn't work anymore, would it?
Once again, this is something that the clarification hasn't been made, where we can give you strict direction. So that's why we want everyone to come into Social Security or contact our offices so we can really define what is your scenario. Because, Jim, I need to say this. Anyone listening to this program is just going to be very confused about it, because there's two separate strategies here. And if we're talking about both of them, it just gets very complicated, because the listener will probably take away a different conversation. So again, if you're full retirement age, you should probably walk into a Social Security office and let's discuss your situation. What is very factual, and I want to say it now, if you're full retirement age before April 30th, the one thing people can still do is the file and suspend. File and suspend means the individual really wants to take benefits at age 70, but by filing today, they're saying, look, I just want to protect my claim in case at 69 I change my mind. I still can go to Social Security and just say, please send me the benefits retroactive going to full retirement age.
So you could get sort of a lump sum. So if you are 66 in this example, and you file and suspend, and at age 69, you know, maybe you have a situation where your doctor says, I'm sorry, but you have, you know, a serious disease here where your life expectancy may not be that great. You could then contact Social Security and get a lump sum payment as if you were receiving it going back to age 66.
Exactly. With no delayed retirement credits, but it would have gone back. So up until April 30th of 2016, that still can take place if you are full retirement age. So anyone after that, it would be back to the old rulings prior to the year 2000, where you file today, you start claiming the benefits today. There is a 6 month retroactivity though. And let's say you're at 67, you filed benefits at 67, and then you realize, gosh, it would have been nice to have gotten them some prior time. We can only go back 6 months, not, you know, an entire 42 months or 36 months, actually, retroactive.
And then there was also something that you clarified, and this was raised when the bill was passed. Let's say that a woman was married to a man for more than 10 years. They get a divorce. Her ex-husband remarries. He now has a new wife, and he decides to file and suspend because he wants her to get greater benefits, or for whatever reason. There was a question as to whether the ex-spouse would be able to get part of his benefits, and that's been clarified, has it not?
So can the ex-spouse be entitled to benefits under the husband who's not receiving benefits? The answer is yes. And I'll give you a quick example of that. We just had a lady who came into the office. She's 62 years of age. She's been divorced for more than 2 years, but married for more than 10 years to this gentleman. So he's not filing for Social Security benefits, and he has no intentions in filing until he's 70. But because she was married to him and has been divorced for 2 years, and she doesn't have enough credits under her own Social Security number to get benefits on her own record, she came into the office, brought marriage certificate, divorce decree to show 10 years, her birth certificate to show that she's 62 and his birth certificate to show that he's also 62. So now she's filed under his number. He doesn't even know that we're paying this former spouse benefit under his record. And he probably will never even know that. Isn't that wonderful? And this has not changed. A divorced spouse is still entitled on whether the spouse collects or not.
Yolanda, given that there is some ambiguity in this law that is yet to be clarified, what would be the best advice that you would give somebody in a situation? Because there are certain strategies that are still possible. You can still file and suspend if you want, but if you're not age 66, you're not going to have some of the same benefits. So I know that in previous conversations that you and I have had, you talked about going online to Social Security. It's very easy. You can register. Same thing with Medicare. Would you still recommend that? Or if there are some questionable strategies or maybe issues that would be confronted, would you recommend actually making an appointment this time?
Yes. Number one, if you are 62 and over, you definitely need to create a My Social Security account at socialsecurity.gov. Find out what your monthly benefit is. The next step is if you're 62 and over, call 1-800-772-1213 and then say, you know, I really want to book an appointment. And these are for the individuals who have not yet filed. If you file, we're not going to be able to book an appointment. But if you are new, we will book an appointment and just say, look, I'm interested in applying for retirement benefits, but I need to know my scenarios. You know, I need to consult. Then you can ask the questions. We can tell you where you fall into these situations and give you a better perspective of what you need to do. You know, what's best for you.
It's amazing because that is really good advice, because I was meeting with an elder client yesterday and we were talking about some of the Social Security strategies that we presented at our client meeting, which was, you know, the file and suspend, file and restrict and various things that you could do. And he said, I wish I would have known this when I was choosing my own Social Security benefits, because I didn't really need my Social Security at the time. And he is getting on an age now, and there's an age difference between them. He said, I would have chosen a different route to better set up my wife. So it really is important, because this is a major benefit. It's a major decision that a couple has to make in retirement, and they should take the time, either find a qualified advisor or perhaps make an appointment and go in and see an official with Social Security.
Yeah, and another thing that I want to remind our listeners again is that offices across the nation close at noon on Wednesdays. The employees are still there. They're basically adjudicating claims, but the offices are closed to the public. So if you're going to decide to do a walk-in, just be aware that Wednesdays are not a good day if you go after 12 o'clock. But again, it goes back to that. What's the best choice for an individual? And just from what we're seeing, and I know, Jim, that this is basically you breathe all this financial information, it may not always be the wise thing to do is take your benefits at 62. If you can wait it out, if you're a widower, they're the only ones that have a credible option. Maybe you don't need to take your own. This has not changed. This is the one thing that still remains constant. Widows and widowers have options. They could either take benefits on their own or take benefits on the previous spouse. And for some folks who've had more than one marriage, and let's say all marriages ended in death, well, then we can opt to see which of those benefits out there could pay you a higher rate before you start taking the benefit under your own Social Security. So these are the important questions that an individual should have, especially for women, understanding what women need to know. We have a publication on our website. It kind of gives you ideas of who else can you apply besides your own. And, you know, should you wait? And using our retirement estimator on our website, that is a phenomenal tool that any of us can benefit from, because, you know, you could say, okay, tell me my benefit at May 2017. What will it actually be? And it goes and gives you a very almost to the dollar amount. It's not a guessing game. It's almost to the dollar amount.
You know, this is very important. I'm glad you mentioned that article that is on the Social Security site, which I think is very important for women that are divorced, head of households, or even a widower, because I think, what is it I read? 85% of surviving beneficiaries to Social Security are women. We know statistically they tend to live longer. And then also there was a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, Yolanda, that said that single women, whether single by themselves or head of the household, represent and oversee $5 trillion of assets. So, you know, finding out what your benefits are and knowing the ins and outs of Social Security are very important. Is there anything, Yolanda, that is written also for men so that men, like the client that I saw yesterday, said if he only knew that there were all these other options, he would have chose differently than what he did? Are there benefit publications or something that, let's say, the husband or men can look at to better take care or make better decisions?
Well, one of my favorites is Understanding the Benefits. That's a great publication for anyone to pick up because it does highlight all the types of benefits that the Social Security administers. And going back to what every woman should know, I know the name woman kind of probably thinks, oh, well, I'm not going to read it if I'm a man. But if you're married or ever been married, then that's a publication that will also give you advice about these other options. So don't let the name, what every other woman needs to know, deter you from reading it because it is great information. But to your answer, Understanding the Benefits publication is my favorite publication to provide to individuals. And you can just go to our website and ask for a copy or download it. So we could either mail it to you or you can just read it online.
And once again, you would still recommend going to the website, setting up an account, and familiarizing yourself with the various options and publications would probably be a first step, even before registering for Medicare or Social Security, so you know how the programs work, the different options that you have available, you know, even with Medicare, whether you're going to go on with Medicare Advantage, the various options, Medicare Part D. There's so many things that you need to learn before you make that decision.
And also on our website, socialsecurity.gov, there's the benefits for. So you can learn about retirement and all of this that we're discussing today. You can just basically click on retirement and it'll lead you to all this information. Then we have specifically for disability. Well, what if I'm not waiting till 62 or 67 to start collecting this retirement benefits? What if you're disabled today? You can get 100% of your benefit at any age. If Social Security determines that your disability is severe, where it's going to last 12 months or longer, you could be getting 100% of your benefits. So whatever you would have gotten at full retirement, you start drawing today. Then again, there's Medicare, survivors, especially for spouses and children. It's all here. So if you just can take the time of navigating, you know, 6 minutes on our website, I can guarantee you that you are going to be very pleasantly surprised with the information that we have. And something that we're promoting right now that's also on the Social Security website is the MyRA. So it's another way to save money through the United States Department of Treasury. There's no cost or fees. And I think they're paying you like 2.31% through this RA. I know you can put a maximum of $15,000. Anyway, I really would like folks to also navigate to MyRA. And again, this is at the Social Security website that you can find this information.
Well, 2.3%, that's more than what you can get on a 10-year treasury note. Sounds like a great idea. You know, who would have thought, though, 2.3% would sound like a lot of money? But when you take a look at interest rates around the world, that's certainly a high interest rate. Yolanda, as we close, give out the website. So if our listeners would like to peruse your site and learn more about Social Security and Medicare, tell them how they could do so.
So www.socialsecurity.gov. It's for government. Again, socialsecurity.gov. And again, be very cautious when you go and put this information on the internet that you are at a government site. There's a lot of copycat websites out there. So always be cautious the site that you open. Social Security will never call you, will never send you emails asking you for your information. So we do our 100% to safeguard your information. And we want you to also know, no, don't carry your Social Security card in your wallet or in your purse. Leave that card at home. There's no need to carry your Social Security number, and do safeguard your information.
Good advice. Well, listen, Yolanda, thank you, as always, for joining us on Lifetime Income. All the best, and come back and talk again.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure talking to you, as always. Have a great day.
You know what really struck me out of this interview, Jim, in listening to it? We pass laws, and everybody knows how complex the tax code is. Of course, things involving Social Security and other programs are complex. And they pass a law, and everybody's still trying to figure out what that means. You know, what's in the law? And unfortunately, you know, whether it's the IRS or the Social Security Administration, a lot of times they have to figure out what this means in the midst of everything.
Yeah, because that was really key, because when they got rid of file and suspend, one of the problems that came up was, what happens with a divorced spouse? Let's say a husband and wife get divorced. Husband gets remarried. He decides, because of financial situation, he wants to file and suspend to get a greater Social Security benefit. So based on the way the law was passed in November, it left this kind of open kind of, well, what happens to ex-spouses? Because under the law, if you've been married for 10 years, as an ex-spouse, you can claim half of your former husband's Social Security benefit. That was left up in the air. At least, John, they clarified that, but there's still many other provisions to Social Security that still remain to be clarified. I was talking to Yolanda before we went on the air there, and I was asking, I had like 10 questions I want to ask, and she says, I can't answer that one, because we're still seeking clarification. So once again, the most sweeping change to Social Security, and they're still trying to figure it out.
And give them enough time, they'll eventually figure it out. But what's coming up in the weeks ahead?
We have some really great shows. We're going to do a series of shows on why retirement plans fail and the coming crisis in retirement planning. My guest next week is going to be Nobel laureate economist, Mr. Merton from Harvard University. He'll be joining me on the program as we talk about retirement planning and many of the issues today that are causing many retirement plans to fail. All that coming up in the weeks ahead. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.